Take your Bibles this morning and go to Acts chapter number 20, the book of Acts chapter number 20. If you need a handout, just lift your hand up real high and our ushers will be glad to bring you a handout at this time if we missed you. We talk about the Apostle Paul here in Acts 20 and how he went and he met with the Ephesian elders. These are guys that he had invested his life in and he meets with these guys to discuss with them their ministry and their life. And you know, Paul had a real high impact on these guys' life. He lived there for 3 years with them in Ephesus, had a big-time impact on their life. Now he gathers them up, and he's going to give them his final words, his final words. You know, in your handout this morning, if you look at that, And somehow in between services, my handout disappears. We got a handout thief around here. I don't know. It disappears. I don't know where it goes, but it always, I think it sprouts wings and flies off. I don't know. But anyway, in your handout, there's a statement there. It says, we must live our lives in a way that will result in having a maximum spiritual impact on those around us. And then what's the blank there? We only get what? One life to live. We only get one life to live on earth, on planet earth. Once a day is gone. Can you get it back? You cannot. Once a day is gone, man, it's gone. One of our girls, teen girls, came in and said she, I don't know if she's, oh, there she is, said you had your 15th birthday yesterday, correct? 15. You excited? Good. She's all keyed up about it. I was guessing her birthday, you know, and I was guessing different numbers, and she says, I get my permit this year. And I'm, oh, wow, 15. How many of y'all remember when you were 15? Woo! Wow. You know, yesterday we were at a wedding in Jacksonville for a young man that grew up with Clint. They were born at the same time. He's about 23 like Clint, and he's been like one of the family, like one of our kids. And we went up to his wedding yesterday and watched him tie the knot with a fine young lady. And at the end, as they were coming out of the reception, we made like kind of a tunnel with people on both sides, so to speak, you know, for them to run through when they were leaving. And what they did, I guess they don't do rice anymore, but what we did is we did bubbles. And so they ran through the bubbles. So everybody got some bubbles. And we were told to blow the bubbles as they came running by. So they came running by and ran through the bubbles. And it was exciting, you know, and everything. But I was thinking about that. And I thought, you know, we've got one life to live. And do you know what the Bible says? The Bible says that our life is like a vapor. It appeareth for a little time, and then it what? Your life, I can guarantee your life is a lot like these bubbles. Those bubbles. Your life's a lot like those bubbles right there. I mean, some of them are sitting here. They're still there. And they're there for a little while. Some of them last a little longer than others. Some of them, as soon as they hit the carpet, as soon as they hit the carpet, boom, they bust. Then other ones, if you can see that, they sit on the step there, on the step, and then boom, pretty soon, they bust up. There's still two hanging on here right now. But our life is like a vapor. It appeareth for a little time. It's like a bubble. It appeareth for a little time, and then it vanisheth away. And that's why you only have one life to live. There's no rewinding. There's no going back. There's no do-overs. You get one every day you get. Once that day is gone, it's gone. There's nothing you can do to go back and get that day back. That's exactly why all of us that know the Lord should be concerned with our life having a maximum impact, because you don't get a chance to go back and do it again. So every day we need to be making sure that our life is having a maximum impact. In Acts 20, Paul is meeting with the Ephesian elders. He's rehearsing his life that he lived among them for 3 years. And he's basically saying, guys, This is how I was able to impact you. And he lays out how your life can have maximum impact. In your handout, number one, we spent a whole week on this. What does verse 19 say? Everybody look at verse 19. What does it say? Paul said he served the Lord with all what? Write that in your handout. Number one, do you want your life to have high impact? Well, then if you want maximum impact, serve the Lord with humility. Humility of mind. Number two, the second thing came from verse 20. Everybody look down at verse 20. Paul said, "And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have," and I had you underline that, "I have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house." Number two, last week, we said if you want to have maximum impact, show what you know about the Lord. As you're learning here at Crossroads, the Bible, as you're learning in your personal devotions, the Bible, as you're learning things about God and things about the Christian life, as you learn, that's wonderful. That's the first step. You got to learn it. But once you learn it and you begin to share it, it's great to speak out for the Lord. Man, we need to speak out for the Lord. But as we speak out for the Lord, we need to live out what we're speaking. Amen. We need to show what we know. We need to be living out what we say we believe. We need to be living it out at home, living it out at school, living it out at junior high school, living out what you know about the Lord at work and at the gym and at the ball field. You know, I mean, if your kids play ball, you know what, and you're a parent, man, when you go to that ball field and you're you know, rooting for your kids, you know what we got to remember is that everywhere we go, man, if we know Jesus Christ, we represent Him everywhere we go. And we need to remember that. And we need to conduct ourselves as a child of God, whether it's at the ball field, whether it's at work, wherever it is, we need to show what we know about the Lord and live out what we say we believe. But number three, let me give you this. This is new ground. This is what I want to focus on today. If you want your life to have maximum impact, live a life of sacrifice. Live a life of sacrifice. How many of you have noticed that our flesh loves to be served? Have you noticed that? Our flesh loves to be served. Did you notice that the flesh, now listen to me now, the flesh asks questions like, "What's in it for me? Will it make me happy? Is it going to be to my advantage? Will it require too much from me?" The flesh likes to ask those questions. Let's be honest. All of us are very capable in our flesh and by nature of being selfish and self-centered. The idea of sacrificing ourselves for somebody else's benefit, that doesn't sit too well with the flesh. You know, Ephesians 5:25 says, "Husbands, love your wives." But then he tells you how to love them. He says, "Love your wives even as Christ loved the church and what? Gave himself for it." He says, guys, you want to love your wife the right way? You want to love her the biblical way? You want to love her the Christ-like way? Sacrifice for her. You see, Christ gave himself for the church, and he says, now you go out and you love your wife that way. Since the Apostle Paul got saved on the road to Damascus when Christ appeared, Christ had taught Paul a different way of living. His attitude was no longer, "What's in it for Paul?" That wasn't his attitude anymore. "What's in it for me? How's it going to benefit me?" Paul's first and his foremost thoughts in life now were, you know what? How is this going to help the cause of Christ? How's it going to help others? And you know, I thought those are two great questions to ask yourself anytime you're about to do something. Teenagers, great questions to ask yourself anytime you're about to do something is, okay, how is this going to glorify God and help His cause? What I'm about to do. Or number two, how is it going to help somebody else? I want you to look at verse 22, Acts 20, 22. And this passage is going to give you a glimpse into Paul's heart and mind. It's going to give you a glimpse into Paul's innermost thoughts and attitudes. Verse 22. He says, "And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God." Whew. Wow, what we catch a glimpse into Paul's heart and Paul's mind right there. Paul was very compelled in his spirit. It's a little s. It was his own spirit, not the Holy Spirit. But he was compelled in his spirit to go to Jerusalem despite the fact that most likely persecutions, afflictions, and problems were going to be waiting there for him. Why? Why would he want to go? Because Paul had such a heart for his people, the Jews, Israel. He was a Jew. He had such a heart for his people to turn to Jesus Christ and to recognize Christ as their Messiah. And so the Apostle Paul had collected a love offering from all the Gentile churches because the saints at Jerusalem were in poverty. So he collects this love offering. He's going to take the love offering to Jerusalem. And his hope there was that that love offering would soften the hearts of the Jewish people, that they would recognize Paul's task and his undertaking and what he was trying to do, that it would help the Jews to understand and receive the gospel of grace that Paul preached. So he was going to go to Jerusalem. And in your handout it says Paul's attitude was that he would gladly serve the Lord despite personal expense. In fact, he knew it might even cost him his life. But his personal safety was not the paramount issue in his mind. Christ and the message of grace was the issue. And I like what Paul says. Look back up at verse 24. Look at verse 24. He says, "But none of these things move me." Now, what things? Well, look back at verse 23. He says there that bonds and afflictions abide me. When Paul says that there were bonds and afflictions probably waiting for him at Jerusalem, what does he mean by that? When he says bonds await me in Jerusalem, what did he mean, bonds? Did he mean like, you know, stocks and bonds we get for retirement at the bank? Is that what he meant? Boy, people were just going to give him all kinds of stocks and bonds when he got there, right, for retirement. No, when he says bonds await me, he meant that they were gonna put, you know, some handcuffs on his wrist and on his ankles, most likely. He knew that could happen. He knew that was a possible reality. And he knew that problems await him. You know what he said? Listen, he basically says, teenagers, listen. He says, personal sacrifice and problems, afflictions, they don't move me. They don't change my mind. People say, how could Paul make such a huge maximum impact in his short life? He had a relatively short life. And especially to serve the Lord. He spent years in Judaism, then he spent time, you know, fighting the cause of Christ, finally gets saved in Acts chapter 9. By Acts 21, he's in prison for preaching Christ. How did Paul make such, and then he got martyred, he got beheaded for the cause of Christ and died a premature death. How could the guy make such what we're preaching? How could he make such a maximum impact with such a short life? Well, right there is, to me, some of the best verses in your Bible to try to show you how he made such a high impact. You see, Paul lived his life unto Christ, not unto himself. And in your handout, there's a great passage at the bottom of your handout, 2 Corinthians 5, 14 and 15. Look at it with me. It says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead." We all needed salvation, didn't we? "And that he died," how many did Christ die for? All. "That they which live should not henceforth live unto" who? "Themselves." But the Bible says, "Now we live unto him which died for them and rose again." Paul lived unto Christ, not unto himself. Now, I want you to imagine for a moment with me. Imagine in your mind. Imagine, those of you who are married, imagine what your marriage would be like if both of you lived every day unto Christ and not unto yourself. Imagine for a moment what your home would be like if everybody under your roof lived unto Christ and not unto themselves. Imagine for a moment if everyone at the school that you attend, every teacher, every principal, everyone from the top down to the bottom, every student, imagine if everyone in that school was living unto Christ and not unto themselves. Imagine if every single person in this church was living unto Christ and not unto themselves. Paul said, I don't count my life dear unto myself. In other words, in your handout it says, Paul did not view his physical life as something God owed him. He viewed his life as a gift to be used to magnify Jesus Christ. You know, Paul didn't look at it as God owed him life. He didn't look at it as God owes me tomorrow. By the way, church, did you know God doesn't owe you tomorrow? You know there's no promise or guarantee for tomorrow? Did you know God does not owe us anything? He does not owe you tomorrow. He does not owe me tomorrow. And Paul had it right. He said, man, every day I look at it as a gift. I count not my life dear unto myself. He said, I don't look at it as something God owes me. But rather, he said, I look at my life every day. If he gives me tomorrow, I look at that as a gift that I'm going to use to magnify Jesus Christ. Look in your handout, Philippians 1, 20 and 21. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by what? By life or by what? Death. And then he says, for to me to live, he said, man, if God gives me another day of life on earth, he says, for me to live is Christ. In other words, the whole focus of my life is Jesus Christ. It's glorifying him, it's magnifying him. If he gives me tomorrow, it's Christ. If he gives me Tuesday, it's Christ. If he gives me next week, it's Christ. For to me to live is Christ. And then he says, look at the end of that. He says, and to die is what? Gain. Why would dying be gain for a Christian? Why would dying be gain? Yeah, because you're with the one that you love, the one that you're living unto. Think about it. If you're living your life today unto Jesus Christ, all right, well, if you die in the night tonight, and tomorrow morning you wake up in heaven, you know what? You're gonna do the same thing tomorrow in heaven that you're doing today, and that's living unto Jesus Christ. So nothing changes. I'm living my life unto Christ today. If I die, it's just gain. I get to actually do it face to face with Him. I get to live unto Him face to face. You know? So to die is gain. He says, if I live and I continue my physical life, well, I'm going to use it all for Christ. But if I die serving the Lord, it's gain because I'm going to be with the one I love. Now, having said that, that doesn't mean that God is looking for us to have a kamikaze mindset. That doesn't mean that we're to go out looking to die as a martyr. All right? Paul was willing to die. Big difference. You know, he's willing to die for the cause of Christ if unbelievers took his life. But God's desire is not that you be some kamikaze, but God's desire is that you live your life unto Him. There's a great verse about that. It's in your handout, Romans 12, 1. Look at it with me. Teenagers, look at that. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, I beg you, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a what kind of sacrifice? Living. See, He wants you to live unto Him. A living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your, and then underline that word, it's your what? Reasonable service. Reasonable. Did you know that word reasonable right there is that comes from a Greek word in which we derive the English word logic. So what Paul is saying is, he's saying it just makes logical sense if you're saved and you know the Lord. It makes logical sense that you would offer your body to Him and say, okay, God, every day I have, it's a gift from You and I'm living it unto You. I'm living my life to magnify Jesus Christ. Paul said, that's just logical. That just makes sense. You know, talk about something being logical. My wife, Denise, she's not here in this service. She was in the 9:30 service.